Hello and welcome. I'm Veronica Scaresbury. So I'd like to begin today by taking a look at two anniversaries connected to the same person. You may be pleased to hear that he is the late Karol Wojtyła, better known as the Polish-born pontiff John Paul II. The first anniversary linked to his memory goes back 20 years, to October 1986, to that day of prayer for peace in Assisi. You may recall how, in an unprecedented move in the history of the Catholic Church, this Roman pontiff called together in the remote Umbrian hillside town, linked forever to the figure of Saint Francis, leaders from different religious traditions to pray, in the respect of each individual faith, for peace. The reason, you may just remember, is that the international media gave this inspiring, and if you don't mind me adding, an incredibly colourful event, a huge amount of coverage, realising it was a milestone in the history of interreligious dialogue. A milestone the Pontifical Council for Interreligious Dialogue is making sure is not forgotten by commemorating 20 years on by means of a youth meeting with the goal of passing on to new generations, once again from different religious traditions across the world, the spirit of Assisi. Earlier this year, in a letter to the local bishop there, Pope Benedict XVI explained the deeper meaning of that first day of prayer for peace of 1986. Quote, "The people of different religions who prayed there gave witness that the language of prayer does not divide, but unites, representing a key element towards an effective way of teaching people from different cultures and religions how peace hinges on friendship, shared acceptance, and dialogue." Unquote. The second anniversary I wish to touch on today in a special way is the young Karol Wojtyła's ordination to the priesthood, which took place 60 years ago on All Souls. It was 1946 when this celebration would bring him on the path to leading the Catholic Church for over a quarter of a century. It's an anniversary I'd like to remember in a very personal manner by bringing you echoes of that era, marked by suffering and dramatic events, in an effort to gain some insight into the personality of this man who, in those years when discretion was the price of religious survival, would not even let people address him as priest. Stay tuned as I bring you the witness of some of those who personally knew him.
We were forbidden to have any culture, any education whatsoever outside elementary education. And we had schools and universities in clandestinity, including university and maturity exams and concentration camp.
That was the world the future Pope grew up in, the same one remembered by Polish Countess Wanda Jabuszyckańska.
On the Czechoslovakian border as a young bishop, and passed the border, and he was arrested by the Czechoslovak police. He likes very much the mountains, and oh yes, and he used to go a lot with the students. And they called him uncle because sometimes he couldn't even show he was a priest. He just went with them as a good uncle.
I would like to offer my greetings and my blessing not only to you, but to all your colleagues throughout the world.
And when the newly elected Pope met with the press for the first time in his pontificate, a mysterious lady cried out, Wujek, uncle, in Polish. Professor Stanisław Grigiel, a one-time personal friend of Karol Wojtyła, was at that press conference.
Il Papa passa, ma non la vede, e lei, non sapendo cosa fare, gridò, zio, in polacco.
Journalists at the press conference were startled by this Polish lady who suddenly addressed the Pope as uncle. What they didn't know was that this was a common way of addressing a Catholic priest in communist Poland, where to identify him openly as father was far too risky. The mystery lady had taken part in one of the secret retreats held by Uncle Wojtyła up in the mountains. In those years of religious intolerance, discretion became the price of religious survival. We were forced to keep such activities secret because the police were always on the lookout for us. Had they found out what was really going on, we would all have had to pay a very high price.
Ma sempre nascondendosi perché era vietato e la polizia ci cercava e questo era pericoloso.
This was the scenario in which the young Karol Wojtyła began his priestly life. His personal life prior to this had taught him to live with suffering.
I don't remember very well his mother because she died when we were still little. The much older brother who died when we were about 11 or 12. The brother was a doctor, medical doctor.
Jerzy Kluger went to school in Wadowice with Lolek, as the future pope was familiarly known.
And contracted scarlet fever.
Scarlet fever.
Yes, and died. It was a big tragedy. And, you know, he came only a few years after his mother died. And they were left in two of them, the father and the son. And father was then already retired from the Polish army. So he lived with his son there in that little flat near to the church and was sacrificing his whole life to that boy.
Lei ha menzionato il millennio, Papa del millennio. Penso che le esperienze Auschwitz e Colima, che si chiamano...
I believe that what makes him so much the Pope of the third millennium is his experience of suffering. The fact that he was touched so personally by the era in which he lived. Many of his close friends at school were tortured, deported to Siberia, or interned in concentration camps. It was this indirect experience of Auschwitz or Coema that inspired him to want to save others from suffering, to defend the rights of the human person.
No one born into this world is free from human frailty, whether it be physical, emotional, or spiritual. Each of us must personally come to terms with this frailty.
We don't talk very often about it. I mean, I suppose, wants to avoid this because, for me, those years are really very painful, those memories. I mean, I'm Jewish. And my father was the last president of the Jewish community in Wadowice. And during the war, we did a tremendous mistake that we went into the army, that means my father and myself, and my mother, my sister, and the grandmother, they were left there. We thought that the Germans won't do anything to them because they're women. Instead, they all died in Auschwitz.
The Cardinal Archbishop Krakow took me personally to Auschwitz. He accompanied me on many other occasions. He would arrange for me to go here and there to see this and explore that. But he took me personally to Auschwitz and spoke to me about it. He understood fully what Auschwitz was and the symbolism of it. And we went together and we knelt and prayed together on that, in that spot.
American Cardinal William Wakefield Baum was one of the cardinals who took part in the conclave that elected the Polish Pope. He cherished memories of time spent with Cardinal Wojtyła in Poland only months before he was elected Pope.
Cardinal Archbishop of Krakow was the preacher of the day, and he preached this magnificent, stirring homily, delivered with great passion. I couldn't understand Polish, but there was a priest always with me to interpret, so I knew what he was saying. He was encouraging these working men to be true to their faith and to stand tall and be courageous. He was a great defender of the rights of the working man, of ordinary citizens vis-a-vis the powers of this world, the political powers, especially in Poland. It was not a revolutionary speech, but it was a speech that was meant to put steel into the minds, the hearts of these working Polish men. That day there were at least 300,000 of them present for this great mass in a field. So that, of course, gave me another insight into his personality. Cardinal Wojtyła of Krakow was one of the most prominent cardinals in the world, and much admired, looked up to, I'd say, by his brother cardinals.
Annuncio vobis gaudium magnum. Habemus Papam.
There was more than one session of the conclave, but I was fortunately on St. Peter's Square when the announcement was made. It was one of those wonderful October evenings that you get in Rome. A beautiful, cloudless sky. By that time, at 8 o'clock or so, it was getting dark, dusk, and St. Peter's Square is...
Vatican journalist Arthur Baum.
Impression, you can only know anyone who's actually seen it. And there again, the conclave ended. In that atmosphere, we were told that once more we had a new pope. And we listened intently for his name, Karol, Charles. And then came the name Wojtyła.
Eminentissimum ac reverendissimum Dominum, Dominum Carolum, Sancte Romane Ecclesiae, Cardinalem Wojtyła.
And that left us all completely floored. We thought, someone from Africa? Who could it be? And it took some time for the news to get round that it was actually a man from Poland. And then he himself came out and made his first speech to the people. And use the words himself. It says, this time they've chosen a pope who comes from afar. And he went on and said, but I'll do my best now to speak to you in your Italian language. And he corrected it and said, no, in our Italian language. If I make mistakes, you can correct me. And that sort of set the tone, which everyone knows now from his pontificate.
Anche non so se... Potrei bene spiegarmi nella vostra, la nostra lingua italiana, se mi sbaglio. Se mi sbaglio mi corrigerete.
I hope you found this program interesting. My thanks go in a special way to all those who personally knew the late Pope and shared with me their old memories. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Thanks for joining me.